on the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
And thank you for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Fabulouser and backer who he could not be. We're glad to say that he's back. And Mr. Rob Setter, a great producer, so we always appreciate his help and hard work each morning. On the news line with us now, Tanisha Williams, back on the line. Dr. Tanisha Williams, I should say, PhD. She's the Burpee Postdoctoral Fellow in Botany in the Biology Department at Bucknell University. We talked to her some time ago about hashtag Black Botanist Week and really learned a lot about this startup movement around here. She got credit for starting up that week, which continues to grow. We're glad to say that it's becoming more noteworthy and more popular. And I guess we are learning that black scientists matter, and we're very glad to say that that's always been a true statement. So good morning, Tanisha. Thanks for calling back today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
Oh, I do appreciate it. You always bring abundant enthusiasm to the microphone, so give us an update since we last spoke, where you were really revealing to many, many people this nation movement of black botanists and this idea that this is should be brought up and talked about. What has happened since that time?
Yes, thank you so much for the intro. Yeah, the organizers and I, there's a committee of 12 of us from the United States, South Africa, and the United Kingdom, and we're continuing to make sure that our message is heard. And the new thing that we have is we're actually doing a lecture series in partnership with the Holden Forest and Gardens. And so we're going to be lecturing every Wednesday of the second Wednesday of the month from October 2020. So this month, actually this Wednesday, we have our first lecture all the way until September 2021. So we're super excited. And the title of that lecture series is Growing Black Roots, the Legacy of Black Botanical Legacy.
Oh, great play on words there. Nicely done. If I were to participate in a protest, or we talk about protests, we always get the flip remark put back at us saying all lives matter, or maybe carve out a particular segment of our society and say, well, their lives matter more or at least as much, that kind of thing. Do you get the same thing where somebody would say to you or to the group, all scientists matter?
We haven't heard that, and it's really interesting to hear that type of talk. So when we say Black Lives Matter, we're not saying other lives don't matter. We're saying that the systemic racism and institutionalized racism that have been attacking Black people and killing Black people and excluding Black people, that's the reason why we're crying out that Black Lives Matter, not that any other life doesn't matter.
Well, and it was certainly unique when the hashtag Black Lives or Black Botanist Week came up, but it wasn't unheard of to talk about black scientists entirely. I mean, I remember the chapter on George Washington Carver when I was in elementary school, and there were other black scientists that were listed at that time, and NASA, we're glad to say, had equal opportunity hiring for a long time and subsequently had top scientists for a long time. So it's not a brand new movement, this idea of black scientists. It's just maybe making sure that they're brought up and talked about. Is that really the key to what's new here?
Not only brought up and talked about, so although we had a few, you're right, George Washington Carver, which is one of the most famously known black botanists, actually. So not only just hiring black people, but making sure we're advocating for them, keeping them in the system, because if you think about that, what you just named, you heard a couple of black botanists in school, but I'm sure you can name 5 times, 10 times more white botanists, white scientists, white astronauts. And so we're trying to make sure that the playing field is even for black, indigenous, and people of color, because these peoples, we're all interested in science, in technology, engineering, and math. We're good at it. And we want to be included in the conversations, in the education, and in the activities of being a scientist. And it goes beyond that. So I'm focusing on botany just because that's what I love and what I do. But there have been Black Weeks weeks in astronomy, in poetry, and all sorts of weeks for Black people to be highlighted.
Any unique challenges that you are still facing? You talk about in one article where you always keep your scientific journals, at least at times, with you when you're doing your research. Other unique challenges?
Yeah, that's interesting. It really depends on what setting I'm in. Sometimes I have to think about what I say and who I'm around. It just really depends. Also, I think about, as a botanist, I do a lot of field work, which means I go out into nature and a lot of hikes and looking for plants. And doing that alone is, as a Black person and as a woman, can be very dangerous at times. So I have to think about that, where my colleagues who are male or other ethnicities don't have to really think about that.
And is there blatant discrimination to this day?
Oh, for sure. A lot of it is masked under what we're what's being termed as microaggressions, meaning really tiny little things that you almost can't pinpoint and you almost can't prove at certain points, but you know that it's just blatant racism. Racism in the fact of who gets called to work with in collaborations, who gets called to speak and give a keynote at a conference. So our scientific conferences are places where scientists, we've worked all year and we share our ideas in the summertime, and we don't see a lot of Black people or Indigenous or people of color at these conferences, and especially not giving these heavy-hitting keynote address to the entire society. So those are just some of the aspects.
Is there white scientist privilege?
Oh, for sure, because the whole system has been built to encourage and to maintain this the system of white superiority and white supremacy. So definitely, and that's what we're, this summer has really opened the eyes of a lot of people, not only whites, but a lot of people to this privilege and to also the privilege that we all have, right? Not only do white people have privilege in the sense that systems are built for them, they're going to be the first person that are looked at. I tell the story in Black Botanist Week that I went to a site that you referenced where I have to carry my scientific book, and I was quizzed on being a scientist, but then I went back to the exact same site with a white boss, and no one talked to me, no one bothered us or anything like that. So just having that white male there was the only thing that was different. We were looking at the same plants at the same location.
Well, and maybe the demeanor showed that you were a team, too. You know, it wouldn't necessarily be clear who was boss, but it would be clear that you're working together, and so you're not you're sort of up to no good, I guess, and that you don't necessarily have to carry all your scientific journals with him.
Which is sad. That's really sad that I had to carry extra protection, but with a white male, then it's like, okay, she's fine.
Well, it may be assumed by others, too, that he's the boss. Now, that would happen to be the case in that particular situation, but that might have been an assumption that people made as well. If folks weren't paying attention this past summer, I don't think there's anything wrong with recapping the hashtag Black Botanist Week, where it came from and what it turned into this summer.
Yes, it was at the height of the pandemic. This week was from July 6th to July 11th. It was at the height of the pandemic and Black Lives Matter. Really, this stemmed from a group of Black birders that they did a week called hashtag Black Birders Week after a Black birder was accosted in Central Park by a white woman, and a white woman called the police falsely on him, and she was actually charged with a misdemeanor for doing that. And so after interacting with Black Birder Week and interacting with Black scientists that were happy to be in nature, I wanted to create a space for Black botanists. And so that's why I created Black Botanist Week with 11 other committee members. And I'm just so happy to have done it, because I've met so many new Black people that love plants. And that's our whole thing, is that you're a botanist if you love plants.
And tens of thousands of individuals involved in making sure that this is an ongoing discussion?
Yes, yes. I mean, if you look at the numbers for the Black Lives Matter March, I think sometime in June there were 500,000 people that turned out in over 550 places to protest Black Lives Matter, and incidents like George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, and the marches still continue today. And the New York Times is saying that the Black Lives Matter movement is deemed as the largest movement in American history.
Well, and I see more and more people are downloading Dr. Stacy over at Susquehanna, her Being the Dot podcast, getting more and more popular and thousands of downloads. So it's being brought up and talked
great.
About still more, right? All right, well, I'm going to ask you to stand by. You can either hold on or call back, but we're going to do another segment at 7:40. I got more questions. I really want to talk about some, dig into the lecture series a little bit, and maybe some microaggressions, but I got to get your research in, too. This idea of studying what climate is doing to plants globally is just has to be mentioned. So we're going to do that. So you stand by.
And I will. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so hold on. All right, so that takes care of that. Tanisha Williams, Dr. Tanisha Williams, please. Burpee postdoctoral fellow in botany and biology at Bucknell University. We're revisiting the Black Botanist Week, but also we are going to get to her research and how plants adapt since they can't pick up roots and move. She's been studying that impact. So she'll be back at 7:40 with more of that discussion on WKOK Sunrise.
This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you again to Rob Center for coming back. We're glad he didn't abandon us altogether. We appreciate it. Glad he got some days up, but glad he is back, our fabulous producer. Back on the news line, Dr. Tanisha Williams is here, the Burpee postdoctoral fellow in botany in the biology department at Bucknell University. I call her the founder of Black Botanist Week. Is that just too much credit if I call you the founder?
Thanks. No, that's true. I did found it. I put out the first tweet calling for people that were interested in helping to create this week.
Oh, good. Well, thank you. And I understated it last time, 10,000. I said tens of thousands. It turns out to be hundreds of thousands of black scientists in many fields got involved in this, and were grateful that the conversation was happening while the Black Lives Movement was really growing in the U.S. At this point, the Black Lives Movement is not as vocal, and folks who called themselves the white allies, not as vocal. Your reflection on that this summer activity that we had isn't top of the mind in terms of kind of the front line at this moment.
Yeah, I do understand as the countries start to open up and we're starting to get back to going to school and going to work that we do have other things on our mind. But I would say that this conversation of Black Lives Matter and now there's the term of diversity, equity, and inclusion has been coming up nonstop. I've been asked to speak on it. I've been listening to a ton of seminars. So it's really at the forefront, at least in academia. And on Twitter, as I'm seeing other different institutions and things like that, people are really keen to hear about these things and trying to make changes within their organization.
And you had mentioned in our first segment this idea of these microaggressions still continue. Give me some, you listed one example, I believe. What are some other examples of the microaggressions that still persist?
Yeah, so a microaggression, I'll just define it. It's the everyday kind of slights and that put down or insult people of color, women, and LGBTQ populations. So that's a definition for you. And to think of examples, it's like telling someone from a different background that they, or maybe English isn't their first language, and telling them, oh my goodness, you speak perfect English. Or if I'm a black person and I walk down a street and I see a white woman clutching her purse because she has the stereotype that black people steal things. Or another instance is some people say to someone that identifies as gay, like, oh, you don't look gay. Like, those are just everyday slights that some of us have to walk through, and every day we're being accosted with this kind of these insults and just negativity each day that we have to manage on top of trying to live our lives and work and be happy and live the American dream just like everyone else wants. But yeah, on top of that, we're layered with all this negativity.
In terms of ongoing efforts, you talked about a lecture series, so dig into that a little bit. And one of our good listeners sent a text asking if they can monitor the lectures. So give us a full explanation about these upcoming lectures.
Oh, I'm so happy. Yes. So this is at the Holden Forest and Gardens. I forgot to say it, but this is a virtual lecture series. So if you go to Holden ARB, HOLDENARB.org, you will be able to link to this lecture series. And so the title of the lecture series is Growing Black Roots, the Black Botanical Legacy. And our first lecture is this Wednesday at 7 p.m., so it's accessible Eastern Standard Time. And we have a graduate student that's going to be speaking about planting seeds of freedom in the Pecos Valley, and she's going to talk about the first Black settlement in New Mexico and how they use farming to survive. So it's going to be a really neat lecture series.
And on other lectures, I'm hoping at some point you'll be speaking too.
Yes, we're going into September 2021, and I don't speak, it's going to be a long time, but I speak in April, and I'm going to talk about uncovering the Black Botanical Legacy and kind of my journey that led me to start Black Botanist Week.
All right, well, and again, the website to link to the lecture series.
Yes, it's Holden Arb, as far as like Holden Arboretum, it's HOLDENARB.org.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I think of Holden Village. Is this associated with the same connection by chance?
I'm not familiar with Holden Village.
No.
Is that in Ohio?
And I don't know where it is. Actually, probably not. It's something has to do with music. So, all right. So scratch that. They tell you when you're an anchor, you should never ask questions you don't know the answer to. So, all right. So we'll skip that one. All right. Well, you tell folks again about your research endeavors, and let's find out what your research is up to now.
Yes. So, as you mentioned before, I'm really interested in how plants respond to climate change, and I'm doing some different things here at Bucknell as well. So my research for my PhD program was to assess plants in South Africa, and the plants I worked on were pelargoniums. So most people have actually seen a pelargonium, because your common geranium in your Home Depot and Walmart is actually a pelargonium from South Africa. So I looked at how flowering times have changed in response to increased temperatures throughout South Africa, and also look at different types of adaptive strategies. So how will plants respond to this increase in temperature and decrease in rainfall regime?
And how has climate impacted plants locally?
That's a good question. So I think it depends on, I was just talking to someone about the fall colors, and we can see that sometimes fall colors may come a little bit earlier or later, depending on the climate that we've seen in that year. We may even have like a shorter season of fall colors, or we may even see just a lot of browns and not your beautiful reds and yellows based on the temperature. So we can almost not have that kind of fall color season, depending on what's going on. So climate change and the weather patterns are very important.
And is our area being impacted by climate change, or has our fall changed? Has our winter changed?
That's a good question. I'm more familiar with New England, winter
okay,
and climate changing. But you guys would get you definitely in Pennsylvania, you're going to get some of similar responses. So I know for sure in New England there are times where droughts, and I know Pennsylvania has been dealing with some droughts, and that could definitely cause fall colors to not come in as bright, or because the plants are so stressed, they're dealing with water stress. Like, we humans need water to live, so do the plants. And if you're dealing with that stress, you really are going to, the plants are going to drop their leaves much sooner because it costs a lot of energy to keep leaves on a tree. And leaves actually are the point where the plant loses a lot of water. So if you're drought stress, you're going to want to drop those leaves so you can conserve water.
Right, we saw plants. Oh, a lot of plants did that around here. It was late August, and you started to see a lot of plants, getting their fall hues, and not quite as vividly too. I guess without moisture, you don't have the opportunity to get some of the bright colors going. Okay, well, we're just about out of time. An additional remark. You have an open mic. You can tell us anything additionally you wish to.
Yes, if you guys are interested in what I'm doing at Bucknell, I'm working with Dr. Chris Martin, and we're doing a lot of cool things related to rare plant conservation here in Pennsylvania. So we're trying to update the status of rare plants and making sure that they're conserved here. And we're working on grasses, and we're working on Casmanthium latifolium, which is called river oats. Baptisia. A lot of people have that in their yard. So we're doing some neat stuff at Bucknell.
Have you been in a Plants Are Cool 2 segment yet?
I have not yet. We're trying to come up with an idea. So hopefully soon.
Well, he travels the globe, so I'm sure he would just love to go down to South Africa with you and get some more research.
Oh, that would be so neat. Opens up.
Well, and take a WKOK announcer with you if it's not too much trouble.
Oh, yes, I'll let you know.
Well, Tanisha, thank you so much for the information and the update. We're going to check in probably back in another 6 weeks or so. I really want to keep this going. I still haven't seen you in person, which I promised to, so I got to make good on that. So we'll be on campus at the time and location of your selection, and we'll do one of these outdoor meetings that we see so many people doing on campus. We'll join that group. So thank you so much for the update this morning.
Thank you so much, and I look forward to speaking with you in 6 weeks.
I do appreciate that. Tanisha Williams, Dr. Tanisha Williams, a PhD, a Burpee postdoctoral fellow in botany and the biology department at Bucknell University. We always give some credit to Dr. Chris Martin. It was some of his research that led us to inquire about her work and the Black Botanist Week that we started talking about over the summer, and we're glad to get an update from Dr. Tanisha Williams.